It's been just over a year since a dramatic presidential election night here in Wisconsin and around the country. Wisconsin ultimately went to Donald Trump by a narrow margin of just over 20,000 votes.
Our next guest is visiting communities around Wisconsin to talk to voters about their decision and how they feel a year later. He started in a part of the state that's been getting a lot of national attention for its unique politics in recent years, the Driftless region of southwestern Wisconsin.
Craig Gilbert joins us now. He's a political reporter and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's writing an ongoing series on political changes in Wisconsin after the 2016 election. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
Well, you started in southwestern Wisconsin. What makes that region of the state unique politically?
Well, a whole combination of things kind of make it interesting at this moment in time. It's pretty purple, which is unusual for a rural white area. I mean, there aren't most rural white communities and counties in America lean pretty heavily Republican. But if you go back to the recent presidential elections like 2000, 2004, 2008, 2012, these counties in southwestern Wisconsin along the upper Mississippi River and the counties just across the river in Minnesota and Iowa voted Democratic. Not by a lot, but just the fact that they were as purple and blue-leaning as they are, a lot of them still continue to vote a Republican for local office. But then on top of that, they switched pretty heavily, swung very hard in 2016 from sort of double-digit Obama to single-digit Trump. And the size of the shift was pretty staggering. And so the kind of demographics and how that kind of ties into Trump's base of support last fall and the volatility, I mean, these are swingy voters. In some cases, some real bellwether counties in this region. Richland County in Wisconsin is one of only 19 counties in America that has voted for the presidential winner every time since 1980. So it's just an interesting area politically and demographically, and for this moment in time when people are wondering, what explains, communities and voters that switched from Obama to Trump.
And another interesting thing there, you write, is that it's kind of not politically segregated as we see other regions sorting themselves out into this is the Democratic zone, this is the Republican. There you've got people living next to people and interacting with people who vote differently than they do.
Yeah, and if you're, if you've spent a lot of time in southeastern Wisconsin and metropolitan Milwaukee, it's very striking how different it is in that respect, because I did a big project for the paper a few years back about how politically segregated the Milwaukee metro area is. Basically the overwhelming majority of voters live in communities that are overwhelmingly blue or red. There's not a lot in between, and it's been getting, and these communities have been diverging politically for decades. You go to southwestern Wisconsin, where you don't have, this big city suburban divide, because you don't have big cities for one thing, and you don't even have big suburbs, but you have this rural area which is unusually purple, and it also means that, Trump voters and Clinton voters are really living side by side. It's really, a very small number of voters that live in overwhelmingly partisan communities. And more than half the communities in this part of the state, more than half voted for Obama in 2012 and Trump in 2016. And you can't find a single community in the Milwaukee metropolitan area that did that.
And you went to southwestern Wisconsin and talked to people. We'll get to what you learned in just a bit, but you are not alone. It sounds like a lot of people on the national political scene are interested in the Driftless region in Wisconsin and neighboring states, even some international attention, a big Dutch write-up on the area.
Yeah, I mean, there was a Dutch television crew that showed up in Steuben. So Steuben, it turns out, Steuben is a small village. It's like 100 people in Crawford County in southwestern Wisconsin. And it is very small, but in percentage terms, it had the biggest swing from Obama to Trump. I mean, basically, Obama won it by, I think, 38 points, and Trump won it by 35 or vice versa. So that's a swing of more than 70 points, granted a very small community. But there were pretty sizable swings in a lot of small communities. And so The Dutch television crew a few weeks ago showed up in Steuben and spent a lot of time talking to people there. I mean, there's interest. There's certainly a lot of interest, of course, in American politics outside of America, but then in particular in the Midwest, because people understand that it's kind of a pivotal area, and in particular in these states, the blue so-called blue wall states like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania that shifted. And then when you look at an area like the one we've been talking about, it's sort of, I think it's even more interesting for people. There have been, in addition to, you know, German and Dutch television crews and national journalists, there have also been groups, political groups, but also civic groups. I talked to one group called Resetting the Table, which is based in New York, and they specialize in kind of promoting dialogue within the American Jewish community across the divisions over Israel among American Jews, and that's what they do. And so they took that and went into the Driftless area in Wisconsin and just across the state line into some of these other states, and spent a lot of time sitting down with voters, sort of promoting discussions across these political lines. I thought that was interesting. There's a lot of that kind of activity going on. And I talked to a lot of voters, not just about, you know, Trump and Clinton and Congress and their frustrations with Washington, but also about just their sort of frustrations with the political culture and, you know, how hard it is to even have a discussion about politics with people that you disagree with.
Talking to Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he's started a series where he's going around the state talking to people in different regions about how they voted, how they feel about political changes since the presidential election. You just mentioned Steuben, Craig. I want to bring on a caller. Rana is calling us from Steuben. Rana, hi.
Hi. This is just a really exciting moment for us. Thank you for even saying Steuben and then let alone saying it correctly.
Well, thanks for calling in. I had a great time out there. I hung out at Joe's Country Bar and talked to people over breakfast. In fact, we ran a picture of the bar in our story online. But that whole area is just fascinating politically. It's also physically, you know, beautiful, and it's just interesting on a lot of levels.
It is very challenging. So much of it is rural America, farmed, a bunch of stubborn old bohemians farming up there on those cliffs, so to speak, and it was just really exciting to hear you talk about Steuben and the things that, you know, the feelings that Steuben has about politics and in general. So thanks for putting us on the map for a day.
And Rana, thanks for calling in. I mean, she says that in kind of a lighthearted way, Craig, but I grew up in a town in Michigan that was in the Detroit radio market. I never heard my town mentioned. I heard the governor say the name wrong once. Is this an area that feels overlooked by politicians and the media?
Yeah, there's some of that, although, you know, it hasn't always been overlooked. I mean, if you look, it was certainly overlooked in this campaign, certainly by the Clinton campaign. But you go back to, I think, one of the lessons. I mean, one thing I heard from a lot of people, this election was just as much about, you know, the resistance and negative perceptions people had toward Hillary Clinton in places like this as it was, you know, the appeal that Donald Trump had. I mean, a lot of people ended up voting for Donald Trump that had major qualms about Donald Trump, that didn't necessarily like Donald Trump, but they, a lot of these people were people that just couldn't bring themselves to vote for Hillary Clinton. And so she was in that sense kind of an ill fit for the area, but also the combination of that and the fact that there was no effort. I mean, if you go back, I kept thinking going back to spending time in 2000 and 2004 on the campaign trail in this very part of the state. I mean, Al Gore took a riverboat ride down the Mississippi and hit these counties. John Kerry crisscrossed the area in a bus, as did George W. Bush in 2004, paid tremendous attention to western Wisconsin and southwestern Wisconsin. So it's a combination of, but they were also accused and perceived, like Hillary Clinton was, Gore and Kerry in this case, as being people, candidates that didn't necessarily, quote, connect with rural voters in the heartland, yet they put in the time and made the effort and worked it. And they ended up winning incredibly narrow elections in Wisconsin, certainly in part because they won some of these rural southwestern counties. I mean, the election's decided by a few thousand votes, as was this one. So that's, you know, those are some of the takeaways. So they haven't always been ignored politically, but certainly a lot of, you know, many people who live there feel, you know, the economic struggles, and some people feel like they are overlooked and you know, by people in the more populous areas. That's certainly true.
Craig Gilbert is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's writing a series on Wisconsin voters 1 year after election 2016. His first piece in that series takes us to the driftless region of southwestern Wisconsin.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. If you live in the driftless region, how would you describe the politics of your area? How did you vote? And how do you feel about that vote 1 year later? And for anyone in the state, has the last year made you change your mind or reinforced your decision on the presidential race? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234. Again, that number is 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with political reporter Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's on the road talking to voters around the state about the 2016 election and how politics have changed since then.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Craig started in southwestern Wisconsin. If you're from there, tell us what politics are like in your community and wherever you are in the state. Are you looking back at how you voted in 2016, glad of that decision, regretting it? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. And Craig, that's something you talk to people a lot about in southwestern Wisconsin, how they felt about their decision in last year's election. What kind of things did you hear? Let's start with Trump voters.
Well, I think you really have to say there are different, there's a spectrum of Trump voters. There are the kind of, you know, hardcore Trump voters, people that were very enthusiastic about their choice, that remain enthusiastic. They kind of like his agenda. They really like his style, and they still feel that way. Then there are, I think there's a lot of sort of traditional Republicans, people that typically vote Republican that are more partisan, that Trump was never their first choice, or in some cases even their second or third choice in the primaries, but they kind of fell into line when he was their party's nominee. And while they may have qualms about his style and personality and maybe even some of his positions or some of the things he says and does, they still want to see the Republican agenda advance. And then you have, I would say, I talked to a lot of people that were really kind of vocally independent. They really stressed the fact that they didn't feel affiliated with either party. They saw themselves in sort of the very broad middle, even though they might lean left or lean right. And they voted for Trump for a combination of reasons. Some of them we've talked about, not liking Hillary Clinton, just being so frustrated with the political process that they were going to vote for, you know, the shake-up candidate, or maybe, elements of economic frustration. Maybe they liked Trump's emphasis on kind of America first. Maybe they had strong feelings on trade and immigration. Maybe they were, they liked his defiance of political correctness. But these people are conflicted, and some of them are not necessarily shocked by the way Trump has kind of conducted himself in office, but they're frustrated. They just don't like the tweets. They are either just sort of resigned to it or really exasperated by it. And they're also frustrated by a sense that, nothing is coming out of Washington. And they're kind of frustrated by the fact that the parties never do anything together. So those are the people I think that are really interesting to watch and going to be interesting to watch going forward, because we know that there are swing voters out there. And in a place like southwestern Wisconsin, there are proportionately a lot of them. I mean, one thing about rural voters in Wisconsin in general is that they swing more than the rest of the state. The partisan shifts from election to election are bigger, and that's certainly true of this area. I mean, you had when there was this big swing in 2008 from the 2004 election to the 2008 election in a Democratic direction for Obama, the swing was bigger in southwestern Wisconsin than it was statewide. And then when you had this swing toward Trump from, the 2012 vote to the 2016 vote, the swing was far bigger than it was in the rest of the state. I mean, basically there was a 7-point swing or 7 or 8-point swing statewide, but there was like a 20-point swing in southwestern Wisconsin. So that's a reflection of how independent these voters are in terms of not being party loyalists, and also the sort of frustration and the desire for change as well. And that's going forward an interesting combination, because they could, you can certainly imagine them swinging back if they don't like the way things play out. And so we're going to get some clues in 2018 and some big clues, even bigger clues in 2020 about that.
And what did you hear from people who said they'd voted for Hillary Clinton last year?
Well, a lot of those people are just, you know, almost apoplectic. I mean, they're just really appalled by Trump as they were then. And some of them are demoralized because they feel like, you know, his behavior is being, quote, normalized, unquote. Some of them are, you know, mobilized to some degree, but and waiting for kind of opportunities. I'm sure some of them are invigorated by the results in the most recent elections in Virginia and New Jersey. Although when I was doing my reporting, it was right before that election day. But some of them are also, you know, they also do share the broader frustration that I mentioned with the political climate and the political culture. So that was something that you heard across the board.
We are talking to Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about Wisconsin voters 1 year out from Election Day. He's touring the state a little bit at a time. He started in southwestern Wisconsin to see what people thought 1 year after the election and most of a year into a Donald Trump presidency. And Craig, let's talk some more about that frustration with the political system. It sounds like that applies to politicians, most of them, the political parties, the news media, kind of across the board frustration. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because, you know, here's one example. I mean, I talked to people who were very frustrated with Trump's tweets and his behavior, including people that had voted for him. But they were also frustrated because they thought, you know, that the coverage of it was overblown and that there was almost a fixation daily on his rhetoric. They not only didn't want to see Trump saying the things he was saying, but they didn't want to see the attention paid to it that was being paid to it. And so yes, there's criticism of the media. Some people feel like the media could be playing a more constructive role in kind of lowering the temperature instead of raising the temperature. There's frustration, again, I think I mentioned before, with just the sort of failure of the parties to ever agree on anything or act in concert or compromise. So that's a frustration. And people are, you know, they're frustrated with the, in some cases, just the political encounters they have with each other, and the fact that sometimes it gets ugly, and sometimes you either have to decide kind of to steer clear of the subject or steer clear of the person who lives next to you or the family member, either when it comes to politics or when it comes to anything. I mean, there's some element of that, too. So that's something that I think a lot of people across the board are struggling with, but I think it takes on a different complexion in an area like this where people aren't as physically separated from each other by their politics. So, in other words, it could be the person, you know, right? You could be your neighbor who who you can't talk about politics with because you disagree on things. Whereas,
I want to jump in, Craig, and bring on one more caller. We've got Steve on the line in Danbury. Steve, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I live right here in the heart of Trump country in rural northwestern Wisconsin, and our indivisible group held a forum called Northwest Wisconsin Speaks a couple months back, and we heard from a lot of people. And what you found out is there's a lot of misinformation out there. People were confused about the difference between, for example, the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare. And in our congressional district, where we have a Republican representative, we also have the highest raw number of people on the Affordable Care Act subsidies. So in essence, they were voting against their interest, and a lot of people have been surprised here during the health care debate to find out that they will be affected in a negative way.
Gotcha, Steve. And Craig, did you hear that kind of talk about issues, how people view, Obamacare repeal?
Yeah, I mean, health care is a really interesting one because, you know, it's very divisive. And so people are more polarized over health care. But at the same time, you know, you talk to voters. I talk to voters who describe themselves as limited government conservatives who were upset by the House Republican health care bill because they didn't want to see the changes made to sort of, you know, guaranteed coverage for pre-existing conditions that were contained in that bill. So these things, you know, sometimes cross lines, and you have people that are cross-pressured. I mean, one interesting thing that I heard in this area is, you know, obviously agriculture is a huge part of the economy, and dairy is a big part of the economic foundation of southwestern Wisconsin. But at the same time, you have a lot of households, you know, not that many households rely purely on agriculture because, you know, people need health care. So one member of the household may be a nurse or maybe in manufacturing, and the other one may be a farmer. And within households, those economic interests can pull in different directions. If you just think about issues like trade and immigration, where a lot of people in the agricultural community are pro-trade and pro-immigration because they see it as promoting agriculture and their exports. Whereas, you know, if you're a factory worker or if you've lost a factory job, you may be blaming trade for that and maybe pulled in the other direction. So there are a lot of cross pressures within communities and even within households.
And Craig, as we wrap up briefly, you started in southwestern Wisconsin. What will your next piece tackle?
I'm actually going to spend some time this week in Paul Ryan's 1st Congressional District, so southeast Wisconsin, very different complexion politically. We've talked about some of the differences. And talking to people about Congress, about the Speaker, and you've got certainly attitudes toward Trump playing a role when it comes to people's perceptions of Paul Ryan. You've got attitudes toward Congress. You've got a tax bill that may or may not pass, that may pass in the House and may not pass in the Senate. You've got Foxconn in this district. There's a lot of things going on. And so I thought it would be interesting to spend some time in this part of the state.
Craig, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Anytime.
That's Craig Gilbert, political reporter and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's writing an ongoing series on political changes in Wisconsin after the 2016 election. We have a link to the first piece looking at southwestern Wisconsin on the Ideas Network Facebook page or at WPR.org.